This is the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yes, if you're hearing on radio on the Sportsnet Radio Network, hi, Gord Stellick here for Jeff Merrick. If you're watching on Sportsnet 360, yes, Jeff Merrick off today, so I get to come back in my old digs at the very best time of year to fill in on the Jeff Merrick Show. But the very best time of year is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So a whole laundry list of topics we'll be able to chat about. And it's nice in a Toronto sense that it's eighth consecutive year the Toronto Maple Leafs have made it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, year number one, they were one of the maybe the only teams. There's always one or two teams in the first round that when they get eliminated get a standing ovation. And that was the Leafs when they had that hard-fought six-game battle against the Washington Capitals, got the standing O on the way out. And here we are all these years later, just one playoff victory to show in the sixth series since. The arch-rival Boston Bruins, even though they haven't played the Bruins in 5 years, that series gets underway tomorrow. Meanwhile, Canada, 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 this looks like the best opportunity for a Canadian-based team to win the Stanley Cup since back in 1993, and it's kind of nice that they're not matching up in the first round to knock each other off. The Vancouver Canucks, of course, they'll be taking off their first-round battle as well. You wonder against the Nashville Predators, an interesting battle. We'll check in on there. And the Los Angeles Kings, Vegas Golden Knights, it seems to be a disinterested Vegas Golden Knight team at the end of the season. It looked like they would be taking on the Edmonton Oilers, but they lose last night. The Los Angeles Kings win. So the Kings and Oilers go at it again for the third consecutive year. The Vegas Golden Knights, defending Stanley Cup champions, but a lot of people wondering if they'll get by the first round against the Dallas Stars. So you got that battle. And then the Winnipeg Jets, the late surge against the Stanley Cup champions 2 years ago, the Colorado Avalanche, give them home ice against the Avalanche. And you wonder, this team, can they be just when a lot of people like I have written them off? I picked them for the cup a few years ago. Do they rear their ugly heads like the Washington Capitals did when you least expected and go all the way through? So all kinds of compelling hockey there. I don't know if it's as compelling in the East. You know, we just kind of expect, you know, certain series that the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes will come through their particular series unscathed in the Central Division, where in the Atlantic, even though there was a flip of who plays who, thinking the Leafs, when they finished up their last two games in Tampa Bay and Florida, that they had planned to stay there and take on the Florida Panthers tomorrow night in game number one. But we saw the Panthers race at the end and then the Bruins seeming slow down. So a change there. That's going to be a great battle. Should be Toronto-Boston, as I mentioned. And also a battle of Florida, as the Florida Panthers, Stanley Cup final last year, President's Trophy a couple of years ago. Great season again. But man, oh man, the Tampa Bay Lightning scratching, clawing, a very different way they made the playoffs in the last 20 games. That intangible that saw them win two Stanley Cups and be in the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row seems to be rearing its head, especially a guy named Andre Vasilevsky, the way that he is playing in goal for them. So we'll get Chris Cuthbert on to join us in about a half hour's time. Of course, he'll be the main play-by-play guy for Sportsnet throughout the playoffs. Get his take on a number of the series that are going on, of course, Toronto and Boston as well. Darren Pang, always good to chat with him. Find out in general, back with the Chicago Blackhawks, and he can give us a more general view on the network side, what he thinks. And then Sean Reynolds, we'll find out more about those Winnipeg Jets and the first round against the Colorado Avalanche. So Gord Stellick filling in for Jeff Merrick. Most people do this. Do they take a break off the top and not tune into the show till Elliot Friedman comes on? I don't know. What do you think, Austin? Yeah, maybe they do. So welcome those aboard that have left the first 4 or 5 minutes introduction off the side, because Friedge has been the man. Of course, he'll be a busy guy for Hockey Night in Canada Sportsnet throughout the playoffs. The must-listen-to 32 Thoughts he co-hosts with Jeff Merrick. The must-read 32 or sort of 32 Thoughts that he writes weekly on sportsnet.ca. And Elliot, welcome back from maybe the least leisure vacation of your life. Is that fair to say?
You know, first of all, Gordy, this is like one of the great sports events I ever got the pleasure to cover, and the honor to cover was the 2001 World Series. And the loudest I've ever heard a stadium was when Randy Johnson came out of the bullpen for the Diamondbacks in Game 7. you hosting this show for Jeff Merritt is like Randy Johnson coming out of the bullpen in Game 7.
Oh, my goodness. I am honored. You know what? That helps me get over. That was a bad trade for Mark Langston when they gave up three prospects, including Randy Johnson.
Sure was.
Way back when.
Well, you know, I have to say, Gordy, it was, as you know, any time in the sun is good. We got a little beach time. We got a little pool time. We went and saw the Leafs and the Panthers. We had some good restaurants. The last night I was up till 2:30 in the morning writing that opus yesterday on the Coyotes. But you know, in our business, we know the rules going in. So I knew the rules going in, and so does my family.
Well, you know that, and fasten the seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy but enjoyable ride. Let's pick just up on that. Let's put a bow on the Arizona Coyotes situation. Like from no surprise, we think on this, like how many years ago on this very network, Bob McCowan and quite often with John Shannon talked about the Arizona Coyotes, the Glendale Project, the city council, yeah. And here we are. So I'm kind of surprised it took so long. Were you surprised how quick it happened?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it was something that, you know, I think everybody was kind of wondering about because there were rumors going on and off and on and off. And I think like everybody else, you're kind of chasing the story. But they did a good job. The one thing that was really interesting to me is the timeline of when they finally decided. I knew that they, a couple of people told me it was basically done around the end of March, beginning of April. But what I was trying to pin down is when they kind of went to everybody, Ryan Smith and Alex Morello, and said, Smith, are you in? And Morello, we have to make a change. And, Morello said yesterday it was March 6th. He said it on the radio show in Arizona with John Gambadoro. And I think it was around the beginning of March with Smith that they knew he was in for sure. And the one thing that Smith said they were well aware of is Utah has to do a lot of work. So, they had to rush this, Gordy. They really targeted the last two, the yesterday and today, to get this done. They wanted it done before the playoffs, and they really had to rush to get it done. And the more you hear, the more it's kind of actually amazing that they were able to get it done this quickly.
The amazing number, and I take it some people aren't happy, but it started with the L.A. Clippers sale a few years ago, and then you have what Vegas did, what Seattle's done, Ottawa's price. So what, Morello, who you talk to a lot of people, not the most popular owner in Arizona.
No.
So
no.
Basically, $300 million he puts in. He could walk away with a profit of $700 million, but I seem to think some people think he owes $690 million or thereabouts, whatever it may be. But it just shows the whole thing, Elliot. Buy the worst house in a great neighborhood rather than the best house in a poor neighborhood.
You know, it's great. It's very smart, Gord. It's really well you say there. It's like myself. I was always told, if you're ever going to buy a house or a condo or anything, some of the advice, don't spend as much on cars as you would on a house. And obviously that sounds stupid because houses are more expensive. But the point I always felt was right. If you're going to extend yourself a bit, do it on something that appreciates in value as opposed to depreciates the moment you drive it off the lot. And so I've always kind of been careful about that. I think you're totally right. You know, I think the interesting thing about this too, Gordo, is that, you know, the sale of the team, the billion he gets, is probably going to finance a lot of the arena if he can get it done. So not only does he get a really good sale price based on what he paid for the team, but if he can get this arena done, a lot of that money is going to go towards financing it. So he's been given a leg up on doing that. Now, there is a lot of skepticism that he's going to be able to pull this off. In his radio interview yesterday, he talked a lot about needing help from the city of Phoenix. I've heard from several people who think that's going to be very hard for him to do because, as you said, he's not a popular guy, not a person a lot of people want to work with. So that, I think, is going to be one of the big challenges here, Gordo. But, I'll say this, too. They timed it yesterday so Ryan Smith could meet with the Arizona staff and players I talked a little bit about it on the podcast this morning. I think he had two meetings. I think he had a big meeting, and then him and a bunch of players went golfing. I heard that, you know, it's like when a coach goes into the room at the beginning of training camp. You have one chance to make a great first impression, to get the players on your side right away. And I heard he was really prepared for that yesterday. He told them that they were going to build a champion together. He talked about building the rink because he's going to renovate it, I think. Well, he's definitely going to renovate it, but I think there's a chance it's an even a bigger renovation as opposed to a new building. But he talked about building the Utah team together, winning together. That's not my driving that's responsible for that, I'd like to say. He went around and he introduced himself to everybody individually. And then I think he took about 20 people golfing. And, you know, I've only spoken to about three or four people who were in those meetings or communicated with them. And so it's not a cross-section of everyone. I have to be very careful about saying that. But the people I spoke to said they were really blown away by how prepared he was, how enthusiastic he was, and how he tried to convince them that they were going to do great things together. Now, the players are going to start visiting and the staff, I think, next week. And we'll see where that goes, but he made a really good first impression.
Well, nice. Boy, that's a loud car horn. That's like an old school car horn, whatever that was.
It was a school bus.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez, okay. And it, for the record, Ellie had nothing to do, whatever that alleged incident.
I'm walking. I'm not driving.
Oh,
right now.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get to where, Arizona only won or two playoff rounds in history being there. So let's talk about the playoffs. And here we're on, you know, Sportsnet 360 right now, back in our days at the Score, Channel 53, locally. The Ottawa-Toronto series. And every year, the Ottawa Senators, or most years for that period, the Ottawa Senators, better team in the regular season. And let's face it, the Maple Leafs got in their heads, won four playoff series in a short period of time. Is there any comparable? Now, maybe the fans can say there is with the Boston-Toronto rivalry. Any comparable you see when it comes down to on the ice?
You know, I do, because I think guys like Marchand get in their heads. You know, you look back this year, they had that great mic'd up moment with Marchand against the Maple Leafs. And, first of all, there's no question that the Bruins guys, and Pasternak, I've heard, is another guy who, and shown by the way he's played, he loves playing Toronto. So they're two best, and they're two best players. They get up for the Maple Leafs. And they were major reasons, obviously, that the Bruins beat the Leafs, even though those teams are still very different. 4, 5, and 6 years ago. And so I do think there is a little mental thing that the Maple Leafs are going to have to deal with here. I mean, obviously a lot of the players who are still there, they're older, they're more mature. I think they've come a long way. Toronto, I think is built differently. I think they might even be more physical than Boston now. You know, the one thing that really stood out to me the other day, Gordo, when the game in Florida, is that, you know, they were physical, and they stood up to the Panthers, but, you know, they got the short end of the stick on a lot of those scrums in terms of penalties. So I'm always very curious, how did the playoffs get called? I think that they're, you know, I think the players change. Like, the players don't play in the regular season like they play in the playoffs. You can't play any two games like that. But I'm always curious to see, you know, do you get officials who are saying, okay, I'm taking one extra guy to calm this down? Or is it a let them play mentality? And just watching what happened the other night in Florida, I was curious about that. So I'm curious to see that. I think the Leafs really overachieved this year. They used 13 defensemen and four goalies. Like, a lot of teams would have collapsed with that. But now what you need, you can't do that in the playoffs. Now you need stability. So I'm curious to see the 6D they pick. I'm assuming Samsonov is going to be the goalie here. You know, he beat Tampa last year. Can he stay healthy and consistent? There were a lot of things they overcame in the regular season that they can't have happen to them in the playoffs.
And, you know, it's a strange end for a lot of teams. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers put their number one goalie in and have...
Yes, that was weird.
Yeah, have a half-ass lineup. Winnipeg had a half-ass line. You know, just... So, in the Toronto Maple Leafs case... Elliot, and I cannot fault 1%. You had to do it. I've never seen a stranger game number 82 that all you were watching, maybe a little bit Kucherov on Tampa Bay, but mostly Austin Matthews. I mean, the game was completely irrelevant. He came up with great scoring chances, great shots. The team was feeding him, and I totally agree 100%. It's been three or four games like that, and so in some ways, okay, you got to get back to business, playoff team hockey. I'm sure they can do it, but it just was an unusual way to have to end the regular season.
It was, and, you know, sometimes that happens. You get meaningless games. You know, some people said to me the fact they were feeding Matthews, do you think that'll screw them up for the playoffs? I think that's irrelevant. I don't think that's going to be a factor at all. I mean, look, I think a lot of things, too, like, you know, Keith, you know, a week ago, he said that Domi, Bertuzzi, Matthews is a real thing. It's not just a flash in the pan. So I think a lot of people are going to be really curious when game one hits tomorrow night. Are those three guys lined up together? I mean, there's a lot of things about Toronto's deployment up front and on the blue line that are going to be really fascinating. You know, the thing about Boston is I don't think they scare people as much as they used to. I think a lot of people have great respect for the fact that they could do as well as they did without Bergeron and Krejci. But they're generally very disciplined. They play a certain way. They stick to that style even when things go wrong. And this year in the regular season, their forecheck gave Toronto a lot of trouble. I think that's going to be one of the real keys to the series is can Toronto handle that better in a 7-game series than they did in the regular season.
Elliot Friedman joining Gord Stellick, filling in on the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network and on Sportsnet 360. Now, first, quick turnaround. Was the NHL originally thinking this weekend would be dark and we'd start Monday, and then TV said, hey, we got to have some games? Was that the original plan?
I believe so, yes. And I don't even know if it was, like, a lot of time you can blame us for things because we're one of the TV arms. I don't even know if it was us this time. I think this was a U.S. TV thing. But, yes, it was supposed to be dark this weekend. And then, you know, there were complaints. Like, I don't think Nashville and Vancouver, like, when I left work last Saturday night, we were under the impression that, you know, Vancouver wasn't going to play until Tuesday. And the Canucks and the Predators obviously didn't like that, so it got moved up. It just shows you that things get really fluid at this time of year.
Yeah, so because last night decided the final playoff spots, not a lot of time to do the kind of previews like we used to have. So of the other seven series, is there one you find particularly intriguing?
Well, I would say this. I think the two that really stand out to me are Dallas-Vegas and Florida-Tampa. You know, Florida-Tampa, there's real hate between those two teams, real hate between them. And I think that'll be a great series. And Dallas-Vegas, I think there's real hate between them. And, you know, they met last year in the semifinal, the Western Conference Final. And, you know, that, like, there's a team that could win this. There's two teams that could win the Stanley Cup that are going out in the first round in those series. And those series should, I mean, it's great entertainment. It's great. People are going to be intrigued and enthralled, and I think that's a great thing. But in a lot of ways, like, those kinds of matchups shouldn't, especially Dallas-Vegas, they shouldn't be happening in the first round. But so those would be the two series I would really – Winnipeg-Colorado in terms of the Canadian series is probably the second one I'm looking at, just because I think that's a great series. I really love the way that Winnipeg – ended the season. You know, they had some really impressive victories. And I think the other thing about Winnipeg that I really liked was, you know, they had a chance last night to win the Jennings Trophy, and they rested a lot of guys, and they still did it. And, you know, that says to me it was a real pride thing for them. And I like that. I really like that, Gordo. And, I know that Brossoit technically came, I think, three appearances shy of qualifying to win it. When it comes to the Stanley Cup, you're allowed to petition to get a player's name on the Stanley Cup if they don't, you know, play the 41 regular season games or the one playoff game. And they will put, and a lot of times they'll put the name on. I think Winnipeg should petition for Brossoit and say, hey, if we can do it for the Stanley Cup, we should be able to do it for the Jennings Trophy, too.
That'd be nice.
Victories a stink.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works.
Hey, sure. So, well, sometimes it's just common sense. You're pointing out maybe a bit of a oversight in a regulation. That was a tough one for him, and he came through, and the team did last night. You know, you always got to give the defending Stanley Cup champion, whomever they are, respect. And this switch that you can turn on for game number 83, it's not always that readily available or able to do. Why are the Vegas Golden Knights unimpressive as they kind of sputter to the end of the regular season?
You know, I have to, it's a great question. I don't worry about them because I think they're kind of deep. I mean, the number one thing is who shows up on Monday. You know, what's their roster going to look like? Carrier, is he going to be there? Stone, is he going to be there? Petrangelo, is he going to be there? Because if all those guys are there, or even a couple of them are there, it's a very, very different team. And it's going to, and Gordy, as you know, it's going to be a gong show or whatever if these guys all show up on Monday. But, you know, I just think that part of me is the challenge of winning again. It's a really hard thing to do. Number two is, again, they've had a lot of injuries. You know, Stone is big, but Petrangelo was the biggest. Now, I am under the impression that this is not long-term, and at some point he's going to be able to play. But, you know, again, we don't know for sure. But the goalies, too. Like, they've really – and I will say that, you know, a couple of times since Hill and Thompson have come back, they've played at times, especially, like, I've had people sending me texts watching their games that when they get up, they don't look right after they make saves or they go down. So I think there's a lot going on around them, but you underestimate them at your folly. And I think that it'll be interesting to see. Like, I will say this, Gordy, I can't believe they lost that game last night. Like, I never saw that one coming. I thought for sure they were going to end up third and playing the Oilers. And people were like, oh, they threw the series. They don't want to play the Oilers. I don't know. Like, the Stars are no prize either. Now that Ottinger is going, I don't see the Stars as any kind of reward.
So the other part about having, or one of the other things about having such a short turnaround is 16 teams are in the playoffs, but you get to do 16 postmortems if teams don't qualify. So we're kind of maybe doing a little short shrift about that. But I know a lot of people, when they were saying, okay, in the East, the battle for the playoffs, I want Detroit because of Patrick Kane. I want Pittsburgh because of Sidney Crosby. Patrick Kane says he's going to think about things. Now, Sidney Crosby says he's going to talk to Kyle Dubas about a contract. Whatever that means or not, but where do you think their heads are at looking forward?
I think he stays. I do. Like, there have been a lot of rumors that they've done some legwork on this already. You know, Dubas said today, I was watching some of his media conference, and he said, look, it's Sidney Crosby, so I'm going to keep this private. I think he stays. You know, my prediction, Gordy, is it ends up being like 2 or 3 years at 10.5. That's my guess.
Okay.
And until I'm wrong, I'm going with that. So we'll see what happens there. You know, I think, now the interesting one today was, it sounds like Letang is facing a lengthy injury here.
Right.
They said that, so we'll see what that all means. But, you know, I don't think Pittsburgh is going to wave the white flag, Gordy. I don't think a rebuild's in the cards. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they take, like, if they go in the off season to say we're still competing and they're not, like, they're not tearing it down. I definitely got that impression today from what Dubas had to say.
And Patrick Kane?
Oh, well, you know, Kane was an interesting one, Gordy, because, you know, they were here last weekend, and a few of us were talking to him after his morning skate, and he seemed really positive. I think he was just in a good place mentally about how his season went. You know, yesterday it was a bit of a different tone, which surprised me a bit. What that says to me, and I understand this from his point of view, is that, look, Chicago, his whole career, and half year or a quarter of a year last year with the Rangers, and now this year with Detroit, he strikes me as a guy who wants the revolving door to stop. He wants to go to one place and stay in one place for a little bit of time. And, you know, Steve Yzerman, he's very careful about term. He's given, you know, he's given 8 years to Larkin. Got to do that. That's your captain. But with older players, he's careful. He does a lot of 4 and 5 years. Now, he's not going to give Kane 4 and 5 years, and I don't think Kane expects that. But what it says to me is that Yzerman probably doesn't want to give as much term as Kane would like. And so we'll see how that plays out. And Yzerman's supposed to talk this afternoon. But I think Kane feels really good about the way this year went and how good he feels. And he clearly loves hockey. But I think what he wants is the revolving door to stop. And we'll see what that means.
Okay, last question. It goes back to 1993 when first year of the fan, you and I working together, last time a Canadian-based team won a Stanley Cup. Seems like there's some good chances this year. If you had to pick one Canadian-based team that you think could be hoisting the cup, whom would that be?
You know what? I think I would probably have to say, like, game 1-82, the best team in Canada this year was Vancouver, and I would have to go with them. I think there's some health there that I think they're a little concerned about, but everyone's going to have that at this time of year. I love the way they handled Demko down the stretch. I thought it was really smart. I like them down the middle with Miller, Pettersson, Lindholm, and Bluger. You know, Lindholm's obviously battled some injuries, so you hope he can stay healthy. But, you know, I really like that look for the Canucks. I really do. Like, those four guys down the middle, I think were fantastic together, look good together. I like Hughes a lot. You know, I just like the way – one thing to me about Vancouver this year is when things broke down, they stayed with their structure a lot better than they had in the past. And that's going to happen in the playoffs. I think you have to recognize the team that from 1-82 was the – was the best team in the country. So I'll take them.
Well, Freed, whoever it is, you'll be there that game when the Stanley Cup's presented and pretty well all the nights before that. So thanks as always. Fasten your seatbelt. We'll look forward to hearing, watching, and reading you throughout the playoffs, okay?
You know what I would tell you, Gordo, is if I was Merrick, I wouldn't leave again because you're better than he is.
I appreciate that, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, just as I wrote him, just as I texted him a second ago, joining us from Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. And again, like we said, everybody involved with Hockey Night in Canada, getting set as we are here for a very busy, eventful, and exciting Stanley Cup playoff run.